5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Dr. Jordan Grummet is an author. He is a doctor and a storyteller. His newest book is The Purpose Code, How to Unlock Meaning, Maximize Happiness, and Leave a Lasting Legacy. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for the conversation.
Yeah, excited for you to be here. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, it all started when I was 7 years old. My father died suddenly. He had a brain aneurysm when he was rounding in the hospital. He was a doctor. And so that became my purpose in life, was to undo the tragedy of his death by becoming a doctor like him and saving the world, which lasted all of about 20 some years. I became a doctor. I burnt out quickly, realized it wasn't actually filling me up. I was lucky enough to be in a financially good place. So I started doing things that do light me up, like blogging and eventually podcasting about personal finance. The only part of medicine I stuck with was hospice, dealing with the dying and terminally ill. And I realized, especially in my podcast, that the one thing all these financial people were missing was the why behind what they were doing, But my hospice patients, my dying patients, had a lot to say about that, a lot about what they regretted on their deathbed. That pushed me to write a book called Taking Stock, in which I talked about what the dying can teach us about money and life. The main point of that book was that we should be putting purpose before our finances. But guess what happened? When I was talking to people about this book, I realized that people don't really have an idea of what purpose is. And in fact, it probably causes anxiety in their life. And so that caused me to do a deep dive into purpose. I wrote the Purpose Code to help make purpose easy, attainable, and make a lot of more sense, so it doesn't cause anxiety, but instead gives us happiness, health, and longevity.
Life's a funny thing.
It is a funny thing. And, you know, a lot of times with purpose, it's we're all programmed on what we think purpose is going to be. And for most of us, that's some version of what social media marketing and our parents have told us we should do. And sometimes it takes decades for us to realize that those things don't actually light us up.
Right. And to your point, you know, you hear all about you got to find your why, or you have to know your why, and purpose. Like, buddy, I'm just trying to get the kids out the door and I don't know what my purpose is. And even if I did, how do I even start to examine it?
And this is the thing. So colloquially, people define as purpose as your why of doing what you do. I define it very much differently. I think why are just the activities you do in the present and future that light you up. And so it's a much different version. If you ask about your why, it gets really complicated and high stakes, because you're like, well, there has to be a really good why. It has to change the world. I have to have impact. I have to have legacy. It has to be this really big, deep thing. But instead of nurturing people, that causes them anxiety and they end up in analysis paralysis. It's like, well, I could do that thing, but that thing doesn't seem big or important enough. And so people get anxiety because they can't, quote unquote, find their purpose. And I try to make the point, well, you don't find your purpose, you actually build or create it. You have to figure out what those inklings of joy are for you, but then you build a life of purpose around it. And so I think trying to concentrate on your why, I call that a meaning problem, not a purpose problem. And I think you need both meaning and purpose to be happy, but they're very different things.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, so I've got to find my why. It's got to be this super important thing. So walk me through then how I know that you just told me a little bit. Walk me through the difference between the purpose and the meaning.
So the way I define it is, meaning is about our past. It's our cognitive understanding of what we've been through. In other words, it's the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. And meaning is a journey to enough. What do I mean by that? Happy people tell themselves heroic stories about their past where they were faced with trauma and difficulties and trouble, and they heroically got through them. And so they, in the present future, tend to feel like they're enough. And therefore, when they jump into activities in the present and future, they're fairly confident that they'll be okay. They don't have to prove their enoughness. Unhappy people tend to tell themselves a victim story about their past. They had these traumas, these problems, they were thwarted. They never got to where they wanted to be. And so they figure that they'll continue to be thwarted in the present and future. And so they don't feel enough. And so how does this become a problem? Well, like I said, meaning is our cognitive understanding of our past. Well, purpose is just the activities we do in the present and future that light us up. If you don't have a great sense of meaning and you don't feel enough in the past, you tend to try to use purpose to prove your enoughness. You try to purpose your way to happiness, purpose your way to feeling enough. And so you get stuck on what I call the achievement treadmill. You're constantly chasing achievements because you're like, if I just achieve this thing, if I just become partner, if I just make $1 million, if I just do whatever I've defined as enough, I'm going to all of a sudden feel good. But we know that doesn't work. And the reason why we know this doesn't work is if you look at a lot of pop culture figures, some of the most successful people we know have tried to purpose their way to enough, and it doesn't work very well. Steve Jobs is a great example one, right? Steve Jobs was adopted. If you read all his biographies, it deeply affected him that his parents gave him up. His sense of meaning was that he wasn't enough, so that his parents gave him up and he became adopted. So what did he do? He tried to purpose his way to enough. Maybe he didn't deal with that. Maybe instead he tried to create the most amazing, great things. He built wealth. He did all sorts of wonderful things. But if you look at Steve Jobs and talk to people who knew him, he wasn't particularly happy. Like, people said he wasn't a particularly nice guy. He had this daughter, but refused to acknowledge her for a long time. I mean, there were a lot of problems in his life. And so that's the difference. He kept on trying to purpose his way to enough by achieving things, and it didn't fill the hole. The hole was in his past. It was a meaning problem. And so that's the difference. And you need both. I think happiness is meaning plus purpose. You both have to feel enough in the past, but then you have to joyfully jump into the present and future and do these great things.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. I love a good equation. Happiness is meaning plus purpose. That makes a ton of sense. So it's so I can get what I wanted to say is caught in a meaning trap, where if I feel like life has happened to me and it's not been fair, I've been a victim, that's I can get stuck there and constantly be chasing rectifying that or through these purpose driven activities, but it just might make me an effective jerk or unhappy.
It leads to burnout. So I'm a great example of this, right? So my father died, and I thought I could fix the world by becoming a doctor like him, by stepping into his footsteps. But ultimately what happened is that I became this doctor, and guess what happened? My father was still dead, and I couldn't save the world. And so I was headed for burnout, because no matter how much hard I tried, it couldn't fill that emptiness, that not feeling enough. Instead, I had to go back and realize that I was just this good kid in a bad situation. I wasn't responsible for my father's death. I didn't have to make up for his death by becoming a doctor. But it took a lot of work to do that. But that was a meaning problem. And so I had to come to terms with that sense of being enough. But once I did that, I could joyfully chase after what I wanted to do, which in this case was talking about personal finance, blogging, podcasting, eventually book writing. But since I didn't have to prove myself with those activities anymore, it actually freed me up. Now, here's the interesting part. And I hear this all the time. People are like, well, that sounds great. But as a doctor, you were helping people. And as a podcaster, a blogger, author, maybe you're helping people, but probably not as much. But what I always tell people is, look, as a doctor, I probably helped about 1,000 people a year. That's being nice, right? Saying that I helped every person I came into contact with, which isn't true, of course. But when I left medicine and started podcasting and blogging and writing books, I ended up having millions of people download my podcast, thousands and thousands of people reading my books. I'd never meant to have impact or legacy, but I'm having a much more exponential impact by doing something I love that lights me up than by being a doctor, which was burning me out and wasn't going to lead to a lot of career longevity. So in a sense, it's a happy side effect. If you do what you love and it lights you up, I call this little P purpose, process-oriented purpose, as opposed to big P purpose, which is goal-oriented purpose. So for me, being a doctor was very much big P purpose. It was very goal-oriented, and I didn't love the process, so it burnt me out. Little P Purpose, podcasting, authoring, doing all these things now that create community and hopefully help people. That's Little P Purpose because the process lights me up regardless of the outcome. In this case, the outcome might be better, but that wasn't my goal.
Well, I appreciate that as well. Okay. So how do I know if I'm struggling with meaning? Is it obvious? Maybe I'm burning out. I feel like there's not enough.
The achievement treadmill is what I call it. So this is this idea that you keep on shooting for these large achievements. And when you get there, it makes you happy for a brief period of time, but then you feel uncomfortable. And so you have to have another even bigger achievement. So you double down or create something new to shoot for. And it's this never ending treadmill of trying to achieve more and more and more. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to prove that you're enough. So it's really, really easy. When you start thinking about what could be a purposeful activity, if you would love doing it, even if it accomplished nothing, then you probably don't have a meaning problem. If you would allow yourself to jump into this thing that you just love doing without having a big goal in mind, if you become what I call goal agnostic, you reach the goal, great. You don't reach the goal, great. If you can do that on a regular basis and allow yourself to be lit up by these things, then you probably don't have a meaning problem. You probably feel enough already, so you don't feel like you have to prove it.
So if I'm somebody who is like, well, you're describing me, and I don't know, I don't see a clear path to moving from being a doctor to being an author slash podcaster, but that's obviously there's people that want to open a restaurant or whatever it might be. How do you coach people or recommend to sort of bridge that gap?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So the first thing you need to know is do you have a meaning or purpose problem? We've talked about that already. If you have a meaning problem, what you probably need is therapy. You need to go back and tell yourself better stories about your past so you feel enough. There's something called narrative therapy that does this, but any kind of psychotherapy is beneficial. Once you get past that and you're like, I don't have to prove myself, the next step is to really decide what to build a life of purpose around. Again, I said you don't really find your purpose. Everyone thinks you do, but that takes away the agency. You really build or create purpose, but it's true. You have to build purpose around these inklings, these beckonings of things that could light you up. I call those purpose anchors. So the first step is to figure out, well, what are my purpose anchors? What could I build a life of purpose around? And in my book, The Purpose Code, I actually talk about three or four simple ways to identify these purpose anchors. I'll tell you one just really easy one. It's what I call the life review. So I'm a hospice doctor and I deal with people at the end of life. And when we get their symptoms controlled, often we'll do a life review where we ask them these deep questions about their biggest successes, their biggest failures, the important people in their life, and more importantly, their regrets. And so I think we can take a page from the dying and start thinking about, if I was on my deathbed, what would I really regret never having the energy, courage, or time to do? But now that we're not dying, where we have no agency and no time, but instead we're young and healthy, we can start taking those regrets and turn them into purpose anchors. Like, if I know I'd really regret never having written a book on my deathbed, then that's a great thing to start building a life of purpose around now. So that's a purpose anchor. And once you identify your purpose anchors, then it's just adding in these little purposeful activities into your day. So let's say I'm a doctor and I don't like my job, but I need the money. I have no choice. I've got to do it. But let's say I have a little bit of time on the weekend. Then maybe for an hour or two on the weekend, I join a writer's group, or I start a blog, or I do something, some activity that's in service of this purpose anchor. So even if I didn't fix my life at all, I've at least added some joyful, purposeful activity into my life. Because, you know, we're born one day and we die another day, and we don't have a lot of control over how much time is in between. But you can't do much with time. You can't buy it, you can't sell it, you can't trade it. Time passes no matter what you do. So all we can do as human beings is try to fill that time with as much purposeful, joyful activity as possible and get rid of as many things we loathe as possible. So if you're looking at me and saying, I can't get rid of my job even though I loathe it, you're still winning the game a little bit if you add some purposeful activities into your week, even if you don't get rid of what you don't like. Now, my hope is you not only eventually add purposeful activities into your life, but also start getting rid of things you don't like at work. And over time, this is not something you do today or tomorrow, but something you do over months, years, even decades, you build in more of what you love into your life, get rid of more of what you loathe. And if you wash, rinse, repeat, and keep doing that over and over again, by the time you're my old age of 52, you're hopefully going to be living a pretty good life.
Well said. You mentioned courage as one of the necessary things that you need. How come?
Well, I'd actually say that courage is the most important thing. And here's why. I have people all the time tell me that they can't live a life of purpose. And the first reason is time. And the second reason is money. I think they're all a courage problem. Why is that? Well, let's look at time. The Bureau of Labor Statistics actually does the American Time Survey every few years, and they actually find that your average American has 4.5 to 5 hours of free time a day, and that people in lower socioeconomic classes actually might have a little bit more. So saying you don't have time if you're an average American is just not true. So then they say, I don't have enough money. Well, it is true. There are studies that talk about money and happiness, and I don't want to go into all of them right now, but they're particularly low quality studies. There is one really good quality study about what makes us happy. It's called the Harvard Adult Developmental Health Study. Started in the early 1900s, took a bunch of Harvard students, had them fill out questionnaires every 2 years, eventually brought in their family members, eventually brought in people from Boston as controls. Eventually it was thousands and thousands of people. And they studied them for 80 years. And not only did they do these questionnaires every 2 years, they eventually did blood tests, MRIs, EEGs, EKGs, all sorts of data they collected on them. And after 80 years of studying them, they found, strangely enough, that the thing most correlated with happiness was not money, was not your career. Believe it or not, it wasn't even purpose. And we can talk about that in a minute. It was interpersonal connections. And so if you're saying I don't have enough money to be happy, or I don't have enough money to pursue purpose, at least the Harvard Adult Study tends to suggest that money isn't the key. And we know that there are people in very poor countries that have a much higher happiness index than the US. So I don't think money is the key. Now, I mentioned that it wasn't purpose, but believe it or not, there are other studies that show that purpose is related to happiness, health, and longevity. It's very clear in the data. So what I always tell people is purpose, especially little p purpose, where you're doing things that light you up, naturally connects you to other people. When you are lit up, like a moth to the flame, other people are connected to you. They want to build and create together, right? They want to collaborate. And when that happens, you naturally build community. So I think little p purpose is a great conduit to interpersonal connections, and therefore brings more happiness. So the point being is it's not time. I don't think it's money based on the Harvard Adult Health Study. I think it's mostly courage. It's a really scary thing to ask yourself what really lights me up and then give myself permission to do that, especially because society, marketing, and our families have been telling us for so long that purpose should look like lots of money, lots of travel, six-pack abs, all sorts of things that are traditionally thought of as supposed to light us up. But for the majority of people, they don't even have the ability to have all those things, right? They're not the right person at the right time saying the right things with the right luck and the right genetics. So you're likely to fail, and it's going to cause you anxiety. Most of us have things that truly light us up inside, and they might not fit those traditional versions of what I call big P purpose that everyone tries to sell us on. And so it's scary. It's really scary to go against the grain and pursue these things.
For sure. Like what are people going to think? What's my brother going to say? What are they going to say at work? Whatever.
And am I going to fail? Mm. What if I do scrap everything and go after this thing that's deeply important to me, and then I fail? Where will I be then? That's a really scary idea.
So I love everything that you've been talking about. I love, the idea that I can't just throw the baby out the bathwater and start doing this, but you can find little things that you enjoy, and you can do the addition by subtraction thing and start to cut out the things that you loathe. And doing those things, I bet you're going to feel so much more happier.
Again, it's winning the game. You only have a set amount of time on this earth. So are you going to give up? Are you going to say, I don't have the money or time? Or are you slowly going to transform your life? And you have all these levers and tools. And people forget. They feel like money is the only tool. But when I was 22 years old, I didn't have much money, but I had a lot of energy. I had a lot of free time. Like, I didn't have kids. I didn't have a mortgage. So on Saturday or Sunday, even if I was working 60 hours a week, on Saturday or Sunday, I could, of course, expend a few hours doing something that lit me up. Maybe something that becomes a side hustle. Maybe something I start making money at, and it actually gives me some leverage to then subtract some things out I don't like of my job. And so those are tools. You know, we got tons of tools. We got our energy, our youth, our joy, our compassion, our communities, our skills. All of these are tools that we could use even if we don't have money. And then, of course, we have levers. I mentioned one, the joy of addition is adding in purposeful activity. We have the other, which we talked about, addition by subtraction. I call it the art of subtraction, getting rid of what we don't love. And then when nothing else is available, substitution, right? Can you swap jobs? Can you swap bosses? Can you swap situations in such a way that just improves things a little bit? If you use those tools and levers appropriately, that's the best chance you get at winning the game, which is changing that calendar to be more you love and less you loathe. Not only will you be happier, but I think if you do that, you'll actually have a greater impact and legacy. Just like me, being a doctor was great, but it didn't light me up. My impact and legacy were limited. When I started finally doing things I loved as a happy accident, I exponentially grew my impact and legacy.
That's a beautiful thing. The patients that you treat in hospice, do they get excited about the exercise of talking about regret or talking about just looking back over their lives?
Well, people love to talk about themselves. And you have to remember, again, when you're terminally ill, it kind of clears the lens, right? So for all of our lives, we've had this clutter of voices telling us who to be and what to do. And when you finally get to the point you're dying, especially for people who never listen to their own internal whispers, a lot of times things become all of a sudden really clear. And so they do want to talk about these things, even if it's painful. A lot of people really want to talk about what they got right and what they didn't get right. And it is, as a hospice doctor, my job is not only to control their pain and to get them, have them die in the place they want to die, whether that's at home or a nursing home or a hospital, but also help them come to terms with this idea that life is finite and they probably did some amazing things and some horrible things, as all human beings do. And try to have them feel some peace around that. We like to help people die peacefully if we can, if it's possible.
Well said. Well, Dr. Jordan Grohman, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? Or can they check out the podcast? And where can they pick up their copy of The Purpose Code, How to Unlock Meaning, Maximize Happiness, and Leave a Lasting Legacy?
So the easiest place to catch up with me is jordangrummet.com. That's JORDANGRUMET.com. There you can find links to both of my books, Taking Stock and The Purpose Code, as well as all the places I create content, including the Earn and Invest podcast, the Purpose Code Substack, as well as all the other places I've created content in the past. So jordangrummet.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Jordan your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to jordangrummet.com. Check out all the things Jordan's been working on and pick up your copy of The Purpose Code. And I mean, I think that we can all do probably work and find that version of our lives that is going to give us that happiness that we're looking for. Happiness equals meaning plus purpose. I love it. Thanks again, Jordan.
Thank you again.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.